and welcome to the Reorg Europe podcast, your weekly roundup of the most interesting trends and developments in performing credit, stressed and distressed, restructuring, and post-reorg in the European and CMEA markets. It's Tuesday, April 30th, and I'm Andrew Ross. Coming up this week, we will discuss Luxembourg-based plastic packaging group Klöckner Pentaplast, which plans on refinancing its 2026 debt maturities during this year or in early 2025. We will then run through the key highlights of the primary market this past week. But first, we're going to delve into energy construction group Petrofac, which kicked off the week with a significant update on its restructuring progress. Joining us to discuss Petrofac is our CMEA reporter, Katie McMahon. Hi, Katie. Thanks for joining us. You've been doing a lot of work on Petrofac this week since the group put out a press release on Monday morning, providing a bit of an update on their restructuring plans. Can you take us through the latest developments?
Thanks, Andrew. So we've known for a few weeks that Petrofac was considering a debt for equity swap as part of its restructuring plan, and it's been in the process of negotiating that with creditors for several months now. Yesterday, the company's come out with some more details on what that plan would look like, as you say. And they've said that there is a proposal on the table from an ad hoc group of its creditors. That group represents roughly 41% of the $600 million senior secured notes. And that proposal includes an injection of fresh money from the creditor group. So note holders are suggesting that they extend $300 million in additional credit to Petrofac, and that includes $200 million of new funds and $100 million of credit support to help the company secure those really crucial performance guarantees that it needs for its existing contracts. And if you remember the last time that I came on the podcast to discuss this company many months ago, we spoke at that time about how important it is for Petrofac to be able to secure these performance guarantees in order to make good on the massive backlog it has, about $8 billion worth of existing contracts. Now, this proposal from creditors is contingent on the company's ability to secure those guarantees, and it would require the conversion of what the company is calling a significant portion of its debt into equity. So that's as far as the creditor proposal that's on the table. The company also let us know in yesterday's statement that it will not be paying its upcoming coupon due on May 15th on those SSNs, and it's also not going to be paying scheduled amortization payments on its bank facilities, its bilateral facilities, after securing short-term deferrals from the bank lenders on those. So the ad hoc creditor group has given the company until 30th of June to make progress on its restructuring, and it said it's not going to be taking action on the non-payment of the coupon until at least then.
Okay, thanks for that, Katie. So how did the market react to this news?
Well, the bonds had already been trading at very distressed levels, kind of low 30s, and that's gone down even further today. Those offers have dropped as low as 20, but we're told that there's not really been any trading in the bonds, and that makes sense because that 41% note holder group is restricted at this point from trading. Now, on the equity side, the share price has been in a downward spiral really for some time. It fell another 50% yesterday and today to trade at around 10, 11 pence. And that price really reflects the sentiment of most people following this name, which is that the equity is going to be likely more or less wiped out in the case of a debt for equity swap. And trading in the shares is going to be suspended on the London Stock Exchange from Wednesday morning.
Okay, so you've taken us through what we know. What about what we don't know?
Yeah, there's plenty of things that we don't know in the situation still. We think that bondholders are likely to take a haircut, but we don't know how deep that haircut might be or exactly how much of the debt they're proposing to equitize in this group proposal. We assume that any new money could or is likely to come in super senior to the existing debt, but if that is the case, we still don't know where that would leave bondholders who choose not to join this group or where it would leave the bank lenders. And most crucially, and this is really the key part of the puzzle, we don't yet know how guarantee providers are reacting to this proposal that's on the table and what it is that they feel they need to see from the company to be comfortable issuing those guarantees again. And we assume that part of that is going to include some significant reduction in Petrofac's debt stack. So there's a lot still to unpack here. We'll be watching how these negotiations continue to unfold. Interestingly enough, some of the sources that we've spoken to do see a high likelihood of this ending up in a formal process. So we could see this developing into perhaps a UK scheme of arrangement down the line.
Okay, lots to look out for. Thank you, Katie. We're now joined by Reorg's managing editor, Robert Shack. Hi, Rob. Klöckner bonds seem to have been on a roller coaster over the last week. What's been happening to the credit?
Yes, the group's debt has been pretty turbulent. It started out with news flow on Friday that the sponsor and the company were in talks with K&E over potential LME solutions to deal with Klöckner's upcoming maturities. That triggered a sell-off in the debt. Reorg followed up with an article noting that the talks included PJT too. Following the recent moves by the likes of Altice France and Ardagh to shift assets outside the restricted group, including via drop-downs, to fund potential LMEs, the market was concerned that SVP might be considering a similar move since Klöckner is currently over-levered and may struggle to refinance. Klöckner's secured bonds had lost around 3 points and the subs around 10 points by the end of Friday.
Okay, well, the slide seems to have been short-lived. Yesterday, the bonds rallied again, erasing the losses.
Yes. Reorg had followed up with an update yesterday in which we noted that the talks with PJT had concluded earlier this year and that Klöckner has instead decided to pursue a conventional refinancing after seeing positive momentum in its operating performance. After being heavily impacted by destocking during 2023, the company is now seeing a return to volume growth and is generating run rate EBITDA of over 300 million at the moment.
Okay, so this company is around 8 times levered and its debt still trades at a significant discount with the secured bonds in the low 80s and the subs in the low 40s. That doesn't sound like a credit that can easily be refinanced.
Agreed. The company still has a mountain to climb to get there. As mentioned, performance is starting to turn around, as evidenced by volume growth, and there are quite a few positives, including SVP installing a very strong management team and having done a lot of work operationally. The group has almost completely switched to PET, which is recyclable, from PVC in its packaging. It has also optimized its footprint, closing excess capacity in Europe and expanding capacity in the US, where demand is stronger. The measures are part of an ambitious plan to delever ahead of the first quarter of 2026, which is when its 1.64 billion term loan and secured notes are due. It targets increasing EBITDA to 400 million and reducing net leverage to below 5 times by 2026. Down from about 8.1 times at the end of 2023. However, few believe that a straight refinancing will be possible. The base case for many investors is that Klöckner will likely seek a short-term extension, maybe around 18 to 24 months at year-end, to give it more time to implement its business plan, and to then be able to launch a refinancing with much better metrics. As a result, the sponsor will likely need to inject a little equity to secure an agreement, potentially to fund a tender offer to buy back the subs at a discount. But it seems clear that SVP is committed to the asset, as evidenced by the 150 million of equity it had put into the business last year.
We are now joined by Leverage Finance reporter Beatrice Mervolian. Hi, Beatrice. What's been happening in the primary market this past week?
Hi, Andrew. So the primary market has been extremely busy again this week, especially on the high yield side. Italian white label food producer La Doria and German hotel operator Motel One launched bonds at the end of last week. They were joined by Iliad, IMA, Verisure, 888, Asda, Mobilux and Multiversity this week. Investors considering Mobilux's new note said that the company has a strong position in France. The combination of Boot and Conforama will almost double the size of the entity. Leverage is also quite low, profitability has been consistent and liquidity is strong. But there are concerns over the possibility that performance will continue to be weak for a while. About Multiversity's notes, investors were quite positive and confident. The company is quite cash generative. It has high margins. Because everything it does is online, CapEx is low. However, the one problem is that geographic concentration is quite high. And if the company tries to kind of expand, of course, that means that there'll be M&A risk. The company also kind of it benefits from the culture and geography of its main market in Italy, in the sense that Italy has many rural areas where accessing sort of bricks and mortar universities is difficult and expensive. And because many young people continue to live with their parents for longer than in Northern Europe, paying rent is expensive, the online format of university, it suits that market. And that there's lots of kind of space to expand in the sense that there are a lower number of graduates, university graduates in Italy as a proportion of the population than elsewhere in Western Europe. Regarding ASDA's notes, investors said the performance has been quite strong over recent months. They had quite a bad year in 2022, as did many others in the sector, because of high input costs. As inflation has improved, this has boosted performance. The transaction is leverage neutral on a net leverage basis. ASDA has done well at kind of sustaining, generating free cash flow, even when EBITDA was under pressure. Although working capitals have contributed to this, working capital inflows have contributed to this. However, they'd have needed those to support their investment in overhauling their IT systems. Investors have also been considering La Doria's notes, which is that white label food producer based in Italy that sells a lot in the UK as well. The problems there are that the company is relatively small, it's Italian, its customer concentration is quite high, and the reporting sometimes lacks a bit of transparency. But leverage is really low, fairly low, at 3.2 times pro forma for the dividend that they're paying, which leaves a substantial equity cushion, considering that the company was acquired for about 7.5 times EV to EBITDA. Management, investors were very complimentary about management and how they seemed knowledgeable on the call. The German hotel operator business, Motel One, investors said it's relatively small with limited geographic diversification because it's all based pretty much based in Germany. But growth has been quite strong. They've expanded a lot and they continue to have plans to expand further. However, those plans will lead to limited free cash flow generation. It's also a first-time issuer in the high-yield market, and it doesn't have a private equity sponsor, opening leverage is quite high at 5.2 times.
More information on all the situations and events discussed in this podcast are available on our website, reorg.com. We hope you can join us next week for another Reorg Europe podcast. Until then, have a great week, and thank you very much for listening.